Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All right, welcome to the deep dive. Today we're going deep on something I think pretty unique. We're going to be looking at personal instructions, a father's instructions to his son. Mm. And the source is titled Tobit's Testament, Instructions to His Son.
Wow.
So picture this, right? You have a father, Tobit, knowing that, you know, his time is coming to an end. He calls his son, Tobiah, to his side, and he starts to share these important pieces of wisdom, practical advice, you know, as any father would before, unfortunately, you know, passing.
Yeah.
And so these instructions are very personal. It's a father reflecting on his life and how to, you know, prepare his son for the future. And so what we want to do today is really explore these core principles in this guidance and see if there are any insights that we can glean from this ancient text and see, you know, what stands out to you? What's thought-provoking? How can this be relevant, even if it's, you know, coming from a different time in a different context?
Yeah, I think what's so fascinating about this particular source is that it's not some kind of public decree. It's not a philosophical treatise. It is a father speaking to his son.
Yeah.
And so there's an intimacy here that we don't often get to see.
Yeah.
And so it's Tobit, like you said, reflecting on his life.
Mm-hmm.
Considering what matters, you know, and what's he going to leave behind for his son.
Right.
And it's fascinating. I'm excited to dive in.
So let's dive right in. So verses 3 and 4, we kind of get right into it. It's very personal, very practical. And Tobit is asking Tobiah to make sure he has a proper burial. But even more than that, he really emphasizes honoring his mother and to never abandon her. He even expresses this wish to be buried alongside her. What do you think about this? What's significant here in these initial requests?
I think it's fascinating that that's where he starts, you know.
Right.
He doesn't start off with some grand pronouncements about God or about life or about faith. It's really about his parents and, you know, particularly his mother. And he specifically reminds Tobiah that his mother went through many dangers for him, you know, even when he was in the womb.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks to just a really fundamental importance of family bonds.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting how Tobit wants to be buried next to his wife.
Yeah.
It makes you think that, you know, they had a very strong relationship and one that he hopes will even transcend death.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Then as we move into verses 5 and 6, we start to see kind of the introduction of these spiritual and moral foundations.
Yeah.
The big idea here is to keep the Lord in mind. And he says to steer clear of sin. And then he follows that with a promise. Those who act with fidelity, he says, all who practice righteousness will prosper in their affairs.
Yeah.
What do you think Tobit is envisioning here when he talks about prosperity?
Well, it's hard to say, you know, exactly what he's envisioning, but
yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's not just talking about getting rich. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if you think about what a good life would have looked like back then.
Right.
It's strong community ties,
mm-hmm.
you know, a sense of purpose,
yeah.
maybe the respect of his peers.
Yeah.
And, you know, following the law.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think this idea of prosperity, it could encompass that sense of inner peace and maybe a good reputation and, you know, the stability that comes from living in accordance with your beliefs.
Right. Right. It's like this natural consequence.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Very interesting. And, you know, I wonder, what does prosperity mean to you today? What is a prosperous life? Beyond just, you know, money and, you know, all that.
Yeah, it's a really good question.
Now, a theme that I've noticed coming up quite a bit is the power of almsgiving. And this is in verses 7 through 11. And Tobit is very, very clear about the importance of giving to the poor. One line that really stood out to me is, "Do not turn your face away from any of the poor, so that God's face will not be turned away from you." And I mean, he's really not mincing words there.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting that he doesn't present it as optional charity.
Right.
This is something you have to do.
Right.
And I think it's interesting also the nuance here where he says, give in proportion to what you own.
Yeah.
So it's not about a fixed amount, you know? Mm-hmm. It's about the act of giving, but relative to your means.
It's like what you're able to give.
Exactly. So whether you have a lot or a little, you know, that principle of generosity, it applies to everyone.
Yeah. What stands out to you about this emphasis on proportional giving?
Well, I mean, I think it's really practical.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's equitable, and I think that's what, you know, makes it so powerful.
Yeah. And the benefits that he mentions, they're not small, you know?
Yeah.
He talks about storing up treasure against adversity. He talks about deliverance from death and darkness. He talks about, you know, being a worthy offering to God. And so these aren't just earthly advantages that he's talking
no.
about.
No. And I think, you know, when he's talking about storing up treasure, there's probably a couple ways to interpret that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, on a practical level, acts of generosity can strengthen community bonds.
Right.
And that can provide support during difficult times.
Yeah.
But then I think there's probably also a spiritual dimension to it. You know,
okay.
And, you know, the idea that you're accumulating merit or divine favor,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, the idea that deliverance from death and darkness, I mean, what does that mean?
Right.
I think maybe, you know, overcoming despair, finding hope in bleak situations,
yeah.
and even, you know, having a positive spiritual destiny.
Wow.
And so it just highlights how generosity, how important it is and how powerful it can be.
Okay. Let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about verses 12 and 13.
Yep.
This is where Tobit starts to talk about marriage and family.
Mm-hmm.
And he really emphasizes that his son should marry within their ancestral family and to avoid foreign women.
Yeah.
And he's very specific about this. And it's interesting because the reasoning he gives for this is he's connecting it to their lineage from prophets.
Yeah.
And the desire for blessed children and inheritance of the land. And you know, this to me, this feels very specific to his time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's really important to understand this in its historical context.
Okay.
I mean, back then in a lot of societies, marrying within the extended family, marrying within the community, it was a way to, you know, maintain social cohesion.
Right.
It was a way to preserve their cultural identity.
Okay.
And even, you know, continue these traditions and make sure that inheritance line stays within the family.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even this reference to prophetic lineage,
uh-huh.
it really shows how important it was to them to maintain this heritage.
Right.
So, you know, this advice might not apply directly today, but, you know, it does raise some broader questions about the importance of community and shared values.
Right, right.
How do we think about family?
Yeah, it's a great point. And, you know, you think about the communities and the shared values that you prioritize in your own life and your own relationships.
Yeah, for sure.
He also, you know, warns against arrogance towards kindred.
Uh-huh.
He talks about the importance of marrying within the community. And then he has this, I think, pretty stark warning about idleness. He says, in idleness, there is loss and dire poverty, for idleness is the mother of famine. So he's not really pulling any punches when it comes to being unproductive.
No, it's a pretty strong statement. But I think, again, it reflects this timeless wisdom, right?
Oh.
That purposeful activity and contribution, they're essential for well-being,
mm-hmm.
for the individual and for the community.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he's not just saying that, oh, idleness is a lack of work.
Right.
But that it can really breed these negative consequences.
Right.
And so, yeah, it speaks to the value of diligence and really actively engaging with life.
It's a great point. Now, in verses 14 through 17, Tobit gets into, you know, some really practical day-to-day advice.
Yeah.
He talks about paying wages on time. He talks about being wise in your speech and disciplined in your actions. And then we get this kind of like the golden rule, but it's stated negatively. He says, do to no one what you yourself hate. And that is something that I think we hear over and over, but it still is relevant today.
It's absolutely relevant. And I think, you know, the idea that you're paying wages on time, that underscores the importance of fairness.
Right.
And ethical conduct.
Right.
And, you know, respect for other people's labor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like you said, this golden rule, even though it's stated negatively, I think it really captures this core human understanding of empathy and reciprocity.
Yeah.
Have you found that to be helpful?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely something to strive for. I think, you know, he also talks about moderation with alcohol. He talks about giving to the hungry and clothing the naked, which are all, I think, pretty straightforward. But then there's this kind of interesting, maybe a little unusual instruction. He says to pour out your wine and your bread on the grave of the righteous, but do not share them with sinners. And this, to me, this really stood out.
Yeah. And it's a little bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one way to possibly interpret this is that, you know, back then there were these ancient rituals to honor the deceased.
Right. Okay.
And it was common to make offerings at gravesites.
Mm-hmm.
And so this distinction between the righteous and sinners, that could just reflect, you know, showing more reverence for those who lived a good life.
Yeah.
According to, you know, their faith.
Right.
And maybe this was a way to seek their blessing or just to remember their virtuous example.
Okay.
It's also possible this was just, you know, a specific custom in their community that we don't fully understand.
Right.
And so I think it highlights how, you know, some of these practices and beliefs are really embedded in a particular cultural and historical context.
It really does make you think about the world that they were living in. Moving on to verses 18 and 19, the focus, I think, really shifts to seeking wisdom and relying on a higher power.
Yeah.
And Tobit says, seek counsel from every wise person and do not think lightly of any useful advice.
Right.
And that's a great, I think, call for open-mindedness.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, don't, you know, be humble.
Yeah.
Be willing to take advice from many different sources. And then, you know, right after that, he talks about blessing God and seeking guidance. And that shows, you know, a belief in a divine presence.
Yeah.
And then he even says, no other nation possesses good counsel, but it is the Lord who gives all good things.
Yeah.
And so that reflects a really deep faith in a divine source of wisdom and prosperity.
Right. You know, I wonder, what are some of the sources that you turn to for counsel and guidance in your own life?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Finally, let's get into the matter of finances. This is in verses 1 to 2 and 20, 21.
Okay.
And Tobit recalls, you know, a sum of silver that he deposited, and he's sharing this information with his son. He's preparing for his passing.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it's this practical consideration alongside all of the moral and spiritual guidance that he's been giving. And he even says to his son, you will have great wealth if you fear God. Avoid all sin and do what is good before the Lord your God.
Yeah.
And so this really brings us back to this idea that righteous living leads to prosperity.
Yeah. It's interesting because he brings up this silver, right? Mm. So there's an actual inheritance there.
Yeah.
But it's all framed within, you know, this larger context of living a virtuous life.
Right.
And so it's not about, you know, just magically becoming rich, but it's about building this foundation for a good life.
Yeah.
Through your actions and through your belief.
So it's holistic. It's everything all together.
Yeah, exactly.
So to bring this all together, Tobit's instructions, I mean, they really do touch on, I think, some of the most fundamental aspects of life. Mm. Family, faith, the power of generosity, you know, the value of community, at least as he defined it, ethical conduct, seeking wisdom, and this core belief that a righteous life leads to a good future.
It's amazing, yeah, how he kind of weaves all these threads together.
Yeah.
In his testament.
What about you? Which of these principles stand out to you? Which ones resonate the most in your life today? You know, wrap up, I think a final question to leave you with is, you know, we live in a very different world than Tobit did.
Yeah, for sure.
What does it mean for you to store up a goodly treasure for yourself against the day of adversity?
Yeah.
Is this just about money? Or is it something more? Is it the strength of your relationships, the integrity of your character, the positive impact you have on those around you? I think that's something really worth thinking about. And thanks for joining us for this deep dive.